Through the course of the winter, the Washtenaw County Road Commission put down 50% more road salt than it did the winter prior and doubled the amount spread on area roads in 2012. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment, a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition, only on 89.1 WEMU. What happens to all of that salt as it washes away with the melting snow and spring rains? Well, it certainly makes its way onto our lawns, into our vegetation, down the storm drains and sewer system, and just maybe into our water. That has the potential to be environmentally damaging. Our guest this morning is Rick Lawson, and Rick is watershed planner for the Huron River Watershed Council. And Rick, thank you for coming back to WEMU.
Well, thanks for having us and for covering this story, David.
Well, let's start here. What exactly is road salt made of? Because it seems to be corrosive. It melts snow and ice and even puts holes in my shoes.
It's actually just what you would think. It's basically the same. Most of road salt is the same thing that you're putting on your food. It's table salt. It's sodium chloride. It's just in a larger form, a slightly different.
No additives? I mean, am I actually melting my stomach when I'm eating table salt?
Well, there over the years, the companies that produce that have been adding things to improve the process. Table salt will melt snow and ice at certain temperatures, but some of the really cold winters we've had this year, the temperatures are well below what table salt
would do. Yeah, it just sits on top of the ice.
That's right. So they've added things to be able to melt that ice down at lower temperatures.
And are some of those things chemicals that are potentially hazardous or toxic?
Yeah, sometimes they're adding metals like copper and zinc and other things that can be really toxic. But the salt itself contains sodium and chloride. Sodium, not so bad. It is sometimes a human health concern over the long term.
So what's the hazard of chloride?
Chloride is is an ion that that binds. It's very persistent in the environment. It doesn't break down. It doesn't degrade. And taken in large doses, is toxic to all kinds of life.
So how might that impact our vegetation then when it comes in contact?
Right. The chloride can impact the vegetation. Wherever it washes off, you'll tend to notice you see dead and dying vegetation when it comes up in the spring. You'll also notice that, like, some of the roadside wetlands will start to become taken over by cattails and reed grass, which are...
That's an indicator?
That is an indicator, because those species can exist in brine or brackish water, so you see them more commonly around the seacoast rather than around freshwater. And so they're taking over as an indicator that, the salt content in those soils and the water there is a lot higher.
So based on that observation, do we have evidence of damage in our area as a result of this excess of chloride and the other materials in salt?
We do have some evidence, yes. We have that observational evidence that we do see changes in the vegetation. And we do also have locally, we've been studying, we take a measure called conductivity, which is a broad indicator of contaminants in the water. It measures the ion balance. And salts definitely affect that because they're, two ions mashed together. And so we have seen in our urban areas about two times, sometimes three times what it should be, and that's in the summer. So that's after those materials have moved through the groundwater and gotten to our surface water streams.
So it says these harsher winters may be playing a role in what we're seeing moving forward.
They could be, yes. And over time, it's every winter that we're adding salt. This year, of course, has been a lot tougher. We've seen salt shortages. I think everybody's, had some time this winter where they went to the hardware store looking
nothing
for
left.
Salt and there was nothing left, right?
This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and we're talking road salt and potential environmental impact with Rick Lawson. Rick is watershed planner for the Huron River Watershed Council. I guess as we talk about the bigger concerns about road salt, it's when it makes its way into our sewer and drain system and then potentially, into the wastewater treatment plant and skips through down onto the river. Have we ever, you've already mentioned there is some evidence through conductivity that we're seeing higher levels.
Mm-hmm.
But is that an impact to the fish, the wildlife, and the ecosystem that we can tell as of yet?
Right. Not yet. There have been very limited studies in some parts of the country, not directly anything around here in Michigan. showing the direct, you know, the impact, the correlation. They've definitely seen increases in some lakes, especially those that drain pretty slowly, of chloride levels, and those are starting to become toxic. What tends to happen with salt, though, is it goes to the bottom of the surface waters because it's denser than salt water is denser than fresh water.
Right.
Yeah. So the fish, the wildlife, can tend to avoid those briny areas. But over time, that does build up. And but again, we haven't seen any direct studies here showing an impact because that salt does get diluted over time and gets washed out into the bigger water bodies.
But clearly, you're on the lookout.
Yes, it is an emerging issue, and we are paying attention to it and are working with our university colleagues to hopefully down the road investigate it more.
Well, let's talk solutions, because better to have some solutions in mind before you need them than after you need them. Are there safer alternatives to road salt?
There are some alternatives. The typical table salt, anything that replaces the chloride ion is better, and there are some safer salt alternatives in the marketplace. But they're not that much better. Another alternative is to use sand instead of salt, because that provides the traction rather than just melting the ice.
Is that not a finite resource too, though?
It is a finite resource, and then that also accumulates into our waterways and can cover up, you know, habitat. So it's not a perfect alternative either. There really isn't an ideal alternative. Some other solutions are things like beet juice that does tend to also dissolve the ice, but it has impacts as well.
And isn't it far more expensive, all of these alternatives, than the salt?
Expensive.
And therein lies the rub, because mm-hmm. these road commissions have no money as it is. Funding has been cut so far. What do? You have to utilize your resources the best way you can and allocate them appropriately. So scaling down solution conversation to something a little more personal, what can we be doing around our homes that might positively impact or limit the impact that sodium chloride has moving forward?
Right. There are a couple of things that, you know, mostly by being aware of the issue, it can really help. Getting out in front of storms when you see them coming, putting the salt down early actually has a more, you can use less of that salt because it works earlier in the process and before the ice forms. And, of course, minimizing that, so identifying areas of high traffic where you have your biggest safety concerns and just using the salt there. Getting out early and shoveling, using your muscle instead of chemistry to do the work, that's probably the best solution. A longer-term alternative is to replace hardened surfaces with porous surfaces. That way, when it does melt, the water goes away faster, and then the ice doesn't reform.
Very difficult in an urban area that's already built.
That's correct, yes.
Based on a changing climate and the potential for more severe winter weather events in the years to come, what kind of planning and adaptation efforts are needed to protect our environment as we work to keep our communities open for business in the harshest of conditions?
Yeah, we do need to think about that because, these winters may be signs of winters to come, unfortunately. So being prepared early in advance, not being surprised by that, having stockpiled enough of the resources to use when we need them will be helpful. With our municipal colleagues, the cities and towns that are out there addressing the roads, timing is everything. Having the right mixes of sand-salt combinations, to do the job, and basically to use as little resources as possible is really the key to smart planning in that sense.
So what you're saying, there's a whole lot of work to be done moving forward.
Yes, there is.
Well, we'll look forward to our next conversation as the work progresses. Rick, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, David.
That is Rick Lawson. He is Watershed Planner for the Huron River Watershed Council. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It is produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division and heard only on 89.1 WEMU.